And he prayed and asked the Lord for a special favor, a special gift, that he would be able to bring one thing with him when he died into heaven. And he had this vision, and Jesus granted his request. Yes, you can bring one thing with you. So he sold off all of his stuff, and he bought gold bricks, gold bars, and he filled up a suitcase with gold bars. And he showed up to the pearly gates with his suitcase, and St. Peter said, "Hey, what, you can't bring that in here." And he said, no, I cleared it with Jesus. I'm good. I have permission." And St. Peter's like, "I'm going to go check on that. I'll be right back." So he goes talk to Jesus and comes back and says, "Yep, okay, Jesus said you can bring it in." And he's like, "So what'd you bring?" And the guy said, "Look at this." And he opened up his suitcase. And St. Peter said, "Why'd you bring sidewalk pavement?" Like, it's a funny story, but I love it insofar as it kind of exemplifies, I think, the issue at hand that the gospel today is trying to address. This rich man who has stored up all of his goods, his wealth, and built bigger barns because he had a wonderful harvest, and investing in all his stuff. And then what Jesus says, but he was not rich in what matters to God. So, looking at that gospel today, especially the first half of the gospel, it's I don't know if you've noticed, we had a couple of weeks ago Martha and Mary, and Martha going to Jesus, "Jesus, tell Martha to help." And today in the first half of this gospel, we have someone coming to Jesus, "Jesus, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." Like, there's a lot of whininess, there's a lot of tattletaling that happens in the gospel going to Jesus, and he sidesteps the whole thing. He's like, "No, that's not, I'm not getting involved in that." It's kind of interesting that Jesus himself, who better to be the judge, says, "That's not what I'm getting tangled up in. It's contrary or to the side. It's a distraction from my mission." But then he has this conversation with the guy, like, about the sharing of the inheritance. And the sad reality is, like, how many, and I'm not asking for an actual show of hands, but how many of us in this church here, either ourselves or someone that we know, have seen families completely destroyed as over a matter of inheritance? I got to tell you, as a priest, you know, working and helping with funerals and helping that kind of stuff, I see it way far, far, far too frequently. Families who just, like, that's it. It's a rift. Brothers, siblings, aunts, uncles, cousins, whatever. Even within my own family, at the death of grandparents, there's so much fighting and bickering and, like, that's it. We're done. So, this idea of not just inheritance and not just, like, what are we doing and where are we storing, where are we investing our wealth? So, Jesus talks to this guy, tell him to share my inheritance, and Jesus is like, "Nope, not going to do that." Then he turns to the crowd and says, right from that to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed." Now, I've been a priest for 10 years, and I've heard tens of thousands of confessions in 10 years. And there's the seven deadly sins. We're all familiar with them. Pride, lust, greed, avarice, gluttony, sloth. We're familiar with those. And the two I hear most often, and the ones I think that are most visible, and maybe rightfully so, the ones we confront most often day to day, pride, lots of pride being confessed, and lust, lots of lust being confessed. But I got to tell you, the one I don't hear very often, but I truly believe is still at work, is greed. It's kind of camouflaged. It flies under the radar a little bit. We can see it in everybody else. Look at those greedy people. but looking in the mirror, sometimes it's hard for us to see greed there. I always look at, you know, does greed exist in 2025 in the United States of America? You better believe it. I always call, recently, I'm preparing for this, I came up with what I'm going to call the toilet paper test, right? The toilet paper test. Greed. Did you try buying toilet paper in April of 2020? You know what I'm talking about? All those empty shelves. Man, that was surreal. Going into every store, everywhere you went, trying to find toilet paper, and it was gone. Like, and it wasn't necessarily because we ran out and the supply of toilet paper just disappeared. It was because people panicked, and they wanted to store up for me. There's greed there. Now, maybe it's a laughable example of toilet paper at the end of the day, but I think there's an underlying truth, a reality that toilet paper exposed me. You know what I'm saying? The opposite of that. What's on the opposite side of that spectrum? When I was in seminary, I had the privilege of going and serving Mass for the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, her order, the Missionaries of Charity. They had a house in St. Paul, Minnesota, and they intentionally build their house in the roughest neighborhood of any city that they go in. We're talking drug needles and broken glass, and just it was a rough neighborhood. So I would go and serve Mass there, and one of those days I had the opportunity to witness something that was so beautiful. That the Missionaries of Charity, they truly rely on radical, radical poverty. And somebody came in and brought a 24-pack of toilet paper and said, "Here you go, sisters." And I'm so grateful I was able to witness this because it made a very, very deep impact on me. But they said, "Thank you," and very gracious. And then they took a roll of toilet paper out, set it off to the side, and then they took the 23 other rolls and they gave it to a single mom who happened to be there that morning, who was struggling. I said, "Here you go. This one roll, this is all we need for today. And God will provide us tomorrow." You see the stark difference between the two? There's something about poverty, radical, intention-chosen poverty, that those Missionaries of Charity exhibit, that they live day in and day out, that is very different than our reality. Now, the fact is, none of us have made a radical vow of poverty. Even for a priest, I haven't made a vow of poverty. It's a promise of simplicity of life, but I can still own possessions. My truck is in my name, but the Missionaries of Charity, they don't own a single thing. Everything is in community. But this idea of poverty, providing freedom, that's why the church has this vow of poverty for religious, is because it provides a path of freedom that you and I don't get to experience in the same way. Why did Jesus bother in the Ten Commandments, and the Beatitudes? Gospel of the Alleluia acclamation today. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And Luke is even more direct. That's Matthew. That's the Gospel of Matthew. Luke is even more direct. Not "blessed are the poor in spirit." "Blessed are the poor." Poverty actually insulates us in some ways. It helps to work against, and it's no guarantee, but it can work against this graspiness of greed. I think one of the big issues, and I think this is really, at the end of the day, is it evil? Is it sinful to provide for yourself, to look to the future, to have security in things? I don't think that's not the issue. Really, that's not the real core of the problem. The core of the problem is, did you notice in this man's reasoning? "Here I have a big, abundant harvest." Nowhere in his reasoning did the thought even cross his mind, or did it dawn on him, "Man, I've had a big, abundant harvest. How can I help other people maybe? How can I maybe make a return to that? How can I look to the needs of other people around me?" There was none of that. Immediately, how can I scoop this up to myself? That essentially is the problem of greed. "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you." And that's the same point of our first reading from Koheleth. Vanity of vanities, the rich man who sacrifices, the wise man who builds up, who denies himself all these things for his entire life and amasses his big riches and then dies and leaves it to some idiot who squanders it. It's vanity. And so, having that end in mind, what is our target? What do we really need? Or am I just simply amassing stuff around myself for the sake of security, to insulate myself? See, that's the thing with the missionaries of charity. The reason why they only take one roll of toilet paper is so that they're forced to depend on God. Radically, we need God to provide for us. But when you have a big, broad storehouse, I don't even have to think about God. I don't have to beg him to provide for me. I can rely on my stuff. And so, it's that disposition where the stuff becomes my insulation, my security point, and I no longer need the Lord. We become rich in treasures and not rich in what matters to God. So, very practically then, if greed is an issue, if you can honestly evaluate, if you can in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own, if you can honestly take a look in the mirror and see, do I pass that litmus test of greed, the toilet paper test? Can I have an interior disposition where I can rely on the Lord? And if so, awesome. Good for you. That praise God, that is a true blessing. But if when I look in the mirror and I see the graspiness for the need of security, that has to be addressed on a spiritual plane, right? The interior poverty, blessed are the poor in spirit, because they don't need to grasp at stuff. They can possess it without being possessed by it. That ultimately, brothers and sisters, that is our goal. That is our target. I've never actually said this out loud before, but I most admire St. Francis of Assisi in this. He lived a radical, radical poverty himself. He was rich. He was from a very rich, wealthy father. He renounced all his stuff. And the little known fact about St. Francis of Assisi, this is my goal. At the end of his life, he insisted on dying naked. Now, he was covered with a blanket, but he took off his little tattered, ratty habit. Even that he took off and he gave to someone else. And he died completely naked, covered in a blanket, lying in the dirt in front of the church that he built. To radically emulate the Lord, who also died naked on a cross. Nothing. Giving it back. That's my goal. My goal is, if all goes well according to plan, I will die possessing not a single stitch of anything. I want my treasure to be in heaven.